evening. Welcome to the Slayer Report. Today is March 2nd, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Events. I'm going to be joining a great group of subscribers on Saturday, 2 days from now, March 4th in Toronto. We're going to be hosted by Rob Kirby of Kirby Analytics. I know many of you know Rob's commentary from USA Watchdog and a variety of different shows on the internet. And it'll be an opportunity to talk with both Rob and myself. There's a great group of subscribers coming, including Daniel Estulin, who many of you know. He's been on the Solaria Report as well. And he's going to be there with his latest book. More good news, the team from BMG Bullion will be there as well, so I'm sure it's going to be a very lively conversation. Then I've offered dinner in Friesland in the northern part of Netherlands on April 7th. We're not hosting, so come as you are. And just like customer service, if you could know, it's going to be way out of the way for a lot of European subscribers, but you just never know. And it's at one of my favorite restaurants in the world, Cafe Max, which is absolutely fantastic. Dr. Joseph Farrell Crowd Fund, we're having a celebration on May 13th in Louisville. It's going to be a 4-hour lunch, lots of time. Dr. Farrell's going to make a presentation, lots of time to do Q&A about anything we want. And we've mailed it to the donors, and then we've posted it up on the website. So phase one is complete. The phase one, the console, the pipe organ is, or the virtual pipe organ is ordered, and we're already 10% of the way to raising money on phase two. So if you haven't had a chance to contribute, just come on into Solaria and click on the link that on the left that takes you over to the crowdfund webpage. And then I still plan on making a speech in California in the third week of April, but the date is fluid. It's moving around. And there's another event we may do as well, so I'll just keep you posted. Then we've put up a post for the Australia trip in May 2018 with Richard Dolan and Jason Bowden-Smith. It's a group in Australia, Enlightened Events, who's putting it on. It's a trip to the Australian Outback. It's a repeat of the trip I did in 2015 that was such a life-changing event. We're limiting it to 20 spots, and the first 16 just sold out like hotcakes, and now there's four available, and it's been sort of quiet. So there are four more spots, and I assure you, the group of subscribers who are coming are absolutely sensational. So this is going to be a great event. We made a new coin. It's still got the Solaria logo on one side, but on the other side, we now have the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. It's very beautiful. Anyway, you can see it. We're doing it with our new promotion. And so if you get an annual subscription or you extend your subscription for a year, we're delighted to send you the coin for free as part of that package. Anyway, so it's very beautiful and I'm very proud of it. Our team did a great job. And then finally, prayer books. We still have plenty of prayer books for 2017. So if you want one, just email, call, or send a self-addressed stamped envelope. They're free. And remember, no matter what's going on, you can always pray. Our theme tonight is the equity market is flying. The question is why. We saw the president give a speech to Congress. It was not a State of a Union speech technically, but sort of operated in that way. The results, the audience appeared to love the speech. If you look at the ratings, the approval ratings were about 76%. The next day, the market was up quite a lot, backed off by about a half a point today, but that's still a considerable up for that period. Peggy Noonan wrote about the speech, quote, "It marks, if not a new chapter, a turning of the page. It suggests Mr. Trump may have a capacity to grow into the office, which is so surprising to me as a thought that I hardly want to commit it to paper." But here it is in the paper. So clearly the part of the impact on the market clearly was the speech, but I think plenty of it was what was going on, deals going on behind the speech or behind the scene that are implicit in some of the interpretation of the speech. Bill King noted that there was significant retail buying. He posted an article from Zero Hedge on the retail buying of the S&P ETF. And wrote as follows in the King Report. Smart mouths on the street like to mock retail investors, labeling the dumb money or Betty Bungalow and Joe Sixpack. It's highly unlikely that Betty and Joe are the driving forces in the stock market. Recent buyers, those that have ample assets, are probably business people and business owners. The impetus, of course, is tax reform, the abolition of Obamacare, and the dismantling of the administration state. Now, it's true, business people are very happy about that. However, we believe that the retail investors that are driving this rally do not care about Jeff Sessions, the MSM, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, or the squishy GOP establishment. They care about the economy and personal safety. All the whining over minor events is confined to the echo chamber. If you look at the post-election market, the big winner is the banks, both the New York banks, but also the regional banks. The KBW NASDAQ Bank ETF or index is up 32% against the S&P being up 12%. So now part of that is the Fed saying they're going to raise interest rates. So it's a combination. I think you have a perfect storm pushing the U.S. bull market higher, and that's not to say that we're not at a top. We might be. But clearly the piggies are out in full force, and I think, clearly tax reform is one. But let me go through the many reasons, and I want to take them in order of importance. I think, first of all, having a business person as the president of the United States, who's clearly into deals as opposed to war. Yes, he's into rebuilding the military. And I'm not saying the deep state guys behind him aren't into war. But it's really funny. Byron Katie did a video on an event she did on healing from hating Trump. And the woman said, the woman she was healing and using as the example said, well, one of the reasons I hate Trump is he's going to start nuclear wars. So she said to the audience, why is Trump not going to start wars? And a guy stands up and he says, he has hotels everywhere. He doesn't want the hotels demolished. But, when you have deal doers who love to make money, they love to build things as opposed to blow them up. So, he loves talking to Abe about building a bullet train. He likes building things. He likes making money building things, not tearing them down. So, the clear message is U.S. is open for business. It wants to do deals. Now, it's also trying to tear up deals, too. So, clearly, that's very unnerving. But I think the clear message is, we're open for business. We're doing deals. And it's got the vigorish up. And it's unsticking a lot of things because the technocracy infrastructure of more rules, more regulation was really shutting people down. There's no doubt about it. And I can't tell you in the heartland what canceling the transgender bathroom rules did. That was just kind of the last straw for many of us. The second thing is, I think the clear signal is privatization is on in a very big way, because the question is, how's this guy going to do all this given the deficits and the debt limits? And of course, privatization and piratization is the way. And I think part of the vigorish reflects the piggies, licking their chops and thinking things are good. If Obama gave the banks the federal credit, we're in danger that Trump is going to give them the assets. And believe me, if you go through the federal balance sheet, there are a huge amount of very valuable assets owned and controlled by the federal government. I think this privatization, piratization is not just U.S. It's clearly happening in Europe if you look at what's going on in Greece. So the financial coup, first they steal the money and then they turn around and use the money to steal all the assets. But they always prefer to steal them at 10 cents on the dollar. That's the problem. So I think instead of squeezing the middle class, they're going to try and go lightly on the middle class where they basically get the U.S. middle class to be complicit, allowing them to squeeze the U.S. balance sheet. And there are going to be lots of foreign investors with dollars, like the Japanese, who'd rather swap their dollars for hard assets. But there's no doubt you're looking at the money stolen from us swooping back in and picking assets up. That's why it's important to not be 10 cents on the dollar. As one observer said today, he said, you have to wear galoshes because of the drool. I thought that was appropriate. The third reason is increase in military spending. Trump is saying $54 billion increase in the military budget. Now, most of that money is just enough to get defense out of the sequester that it's been in. And, of course, the big question is, what will the return on investment be vis-a-vis the management of the whole system? The next one is tax reform, but that one is very important, as Bill King said, to the small business and to the, you know, people on Main Street who have a successful business. Now, whether or not you get it this year or not, you don't know. And, of course, one part of it is the big companies who've got trillions in cash abroad want to be able to bring it back. And certainly Trump wants them to bring it back. But whether you can shepherd a complicated package through Congress, given what's going on, is hard to tell. The next one, also very, very big for the financial community and Main Street, is regulatory relief. So the day after the speech, J.P. Morgan stock, which is J.P. Morgan is the lead depository for the U.S. government, was up 3.6%, and Goldman up almost 2%. So clearly somebody's counting on big regulatory relief. And I assure you, regulatory relief for the small banks is a great idea. There's a lot of ridiculousness in the regulations and the compliance costs that are being put across the board. The reality is, you know, you have black budget fraud, and then instead of regulating the covert, you just put more rules on the overt. And the overt screams it's not fair, and it's not. It's certainly not going to address the black budget fraud. It doesn't solve a thing. Planet Equity. I've talked a lot since we wrote the Planet Equity wrap-up several years ago about the commitment at the very top of G7 to shift governance and ownership into corporations and basically move globally to a much more powerful equity market, one that's providing capital in every community around the world, and one that's getting buy-in from people all over the world into making sure that equity is optimized. So there's a major systemic commitment, and as a result, you see huge institutional investment coming from the central banks and the big sovereign wealth and government pension funds to equities. I noted last week that the Norway Sovereign Wealth Fund, which is a real bellwether, just increased its equity allocations from 60 to 70%. Another is inflation. Part of what you're seeing is not just dollar debasement, but fiat currency debasement going on all around the world. Investors are just trying to shift into hard assets, but they need it liquid. And so the equity markets is clearly the place to be. And then there is some investors trying to shift out of European fixed income and currencies because of the uncertainty with the elections. We have Netherlands coming up, and France and Germany this year, and so that's making investors nervous. And finally, I think there is some anticipation of more earnings from new technology. A lot of that increased earnings is not going to come from revenues. It's going to come from lower expenses as a result of efficiencies from robotics and new energy technologies. So it's a perfect storm of many things happening together, but If tax reform happens, along with major regulatory relief and privatization on infrastructure, wow, you could really get something happening. And again, I don't underestimate how frustrating it's going to be to watch the country bought with our own money stolen from us. If you combine this perfect storm of things with a constitutional convention, you run the risk of a stock market explosion, because then you're talking about really pulling down all the internal financial controls and legal financial controls and basically having a real pig fest. So that it's one of the reasons I'm so wildly opposed to a constitutional convention, because then, you know, then the piggies are off to the races, the scorpions too. Needless to say, the Democrats hated the speech, and now they've gone ballistic on accusing Sessions of dancing with the Russians. And now finally Sessions has recused himself. The accusation is completely ridiculous, and I think he did it just to be careful. Trump's statement about the whole brouhaha is Jeff Sessions, quote, Jeff Sessions is an honest man. He did not say anything wrong. He could have stated his response more accurately, but it was clearly not intentional. This whole narrative is a way of saving face for Democrats losing an election that everyone thought they were supposed to win. The Democrats are overplaying their hand. They lost the election, and now they have lost their grip on reality. The real story is all the illegal leaks of classified and other information. It is a total witch hunt. There is no doubt for members of Congress and for the Speaker or the Minority Speaker to go after a man who 2 weeks ago was a sitting senator for this ridiculousness, and Pelosi at one point, I think, called for his resignation. You know, it's just ridiculous. Now, let's look at the Democrats' serious problems. My suspicion is you have a whole group of leadership, and it's not just the Democrats, it's the Republican too, of massive legal liabilities on foreign deals and pedophilia. And if Sessions moves forward with Clinton campaign investigations, then there are a lot of people who are in real danger. So there was an article from Voltaire.net on David Brock's effort. They claim he's got a team of 300 people who are basically running a witch hunt on Trump and his team. Plus, it's 300 plus attorneys. Now, the witch hunt I faced was 20 people working for years just trying to smear us and work Congress and lobby the press and do various investigations. So I was up against 20 people plus one or two law firms. I can't imagine what a team of 300 people plus lawyers could, how much just mess they can make. Here's the reality. If Trump and the Trump administration control a privatization gravy train, plus return immigration to lawful status, the Democrats are toast, let alone he turns around the, you know, eases up the pain in the black neighborhood. So if Trump does half of what he says he does, the Democratic Party is either dead or out for 30 years. It's going to be interesting. So that's one reason I think you're seeing the fight as well as the liability all these folks have on foreign deals and on pedophilia. There was an article in The Economist last week that called Trumped Up about how good the witch hunt was for subscriptions at the New York Times and CNN. Well, the subscriptions were New York Times, but viewership at CNN and some of the other media, which had really lost media share, was talking about how great Trump was. He was reviving their business. And it reminded me of, I keep talking about the Salem witch trials, where the pastor's tithes were doing poorly, but when he preached on the Salem witch trial, everybody got interested and gave money. So the witch trials were making the pastor money. As I said, for the last 2 weeks, Trump needs a war team. He can't use his main cabinet team to play the war games. They've got to be about the business of making America great again. But I don't see any sign that he's put together a war team. It may take him some time to figure out. You can't play war. You know, if Brock and now there's word about what Obama's going to be up to and Clinton's going to be up to. But if the Democrats are putting together a major war machine to play info war and legal and financial war up against the whole team, you're going to have to counter with a significant effort that can handle that, because you can't let it bog down your main team on the regular business of government. There's a new article accusing Donald Trump Jr. of having been paid $50,000 to give a speech to a group of people who in their regular lives associate with people in Moscow. So now it's not only wrong to associate with Russians in a global economy, it's wrong to associate with people who associate with Russians. It's kind of like a cootie factory now. Anyway, there is to close out this section, there was an excellent piece from Mike Krieger at Liberty Blitzkrieg, which I wanted to read. It's from an article entitled America is in Deep Trouble. I asked our blog team to post it. It should be abundantly clear by now that no one is coming to save us, and no one will be making America great again except for us. We need to focus on making ourselves great. Once we do that, we will be able to surmount all obstacles and make this world a better place. But don't think the path will be easy. I think we are in for an extraordinarily bumpy ride, and the only thing we'll be able to depend on is the decency and goodwill of our fellow citizens. The government isn't going to save us. We need to save ourselves. Amen to that. It's another good reason to stop a constitutional convention. If we don't stop a constitutional convention, then there's a very good chance that we won't be fellow citizens. And I should also mention, I put up a video posted under Wildcards on Fukushima. Despite all these politics going on, they're not the main event. The main event is what is happening in the environmental and geophysical issues. They're much more important than a lot of these politics. And that's why when Bill King said that that the retail investor is focused on the big, deep trends and not on the what's bouncing around in the echo chamber, I think he's got a very good point. So it's important to keep our eye on the ball. Money in markets. The U.S. dollar is well above 100. It's up at 102, so it's flat for the year. The long treasury, intermediate treasury, bond aggregate, all pretty much flat for the year. Junk still up at 2.72%. The S&P now up 6.5% for the year. Home builders doing better, 8.21%. I suspect people are trying to pull money out at the top and put some money in real estate is what I would expect. The European market up about 4.25%, Germany up 4.83%, developed markets minus North America up almost 5%. The large cap China now up 8.8%, small cap China up 10.25%. And that's pretty good because the stimulus is winding down. And then emerging markets up 8.25%. Emerging markets are still very attractive relative to the U.S., which is very much at the top. Problem is, of course, if you get a dollar bear trap rally, they can get slammed pretty hard. Commodities up now 2% for the year. Gold has come down a lot in the last week or so, but it's still up 7.27%, looking good for the year so far. And then silver up 11.18%. Oil now down 5.53%. Oil has just never recovered. One of the links that someone sent in is, where is the investigation of the Clinton Foundation, the Wiener laptop, and the Awan brothers, who were two brothers who were basically hacking into Congress from their IT staff? It's a very interesting situation, or it certainly looks like they were hacking in. But that's a big question, and I think a lot of the craziness and the losing your mind in Washington revolves around whatever that is. And that's why if you look at taking out Flynn first, and if you'd said to me, who would you go at next, I wouldn't have guessed Sessions, only because Sessions, coming as he did from the position of a senator, it's hard to take somebody out with that history and background. So to go after him this fast, this hard, says to me they're terrified about that. And so they really want to freeze Sessions and shut him down because they're afraid of what FBI or other investigations might do. Some items worth noting on the blog. There's I keep getting questions about where can I find the Red Button story. So I put up a little commentary with all the different versions of the Red Button story, the audio version, the song version, the short text version, the long text version, the funny one, the serious one. Anyway, so if you're interested in explaining the Red Button problem story to everyone, there it is. There's another wonderful video that Jason Bawden-Smith sent me on Dr. Kaderis, who is discussing the risks to children from screen time and tech overuse. And if you're a parent or a grandparent, I strongly, strongly recommend you watch it. It's up in a commentary in the middle blue column. Two good things from the Department of Justice in the short time that Sessions has been there. He's pulling back from prosecuting local police, which is, I think, a great thing. The centralization and militarization of the police is a very bad idea. The local police should be under state and local control, or just local control. We do not need to centralize control of the police force. Very important. The second thing, they canceled transgender bathroom guidance, which was one of the worst things I've ever seen come out of Washington. Truthout had an article complaining that they not only canceled the transgender bathroom guidance, but all sorts of guidance in it about how people who dressed, you know, outside the stereotypical norms for their sex shouldn't be mistreated, blah, 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 blah. And it just drove me crazy because the thought that you and I and the American people should pay money for the federal government to monitor and enforce that is insane. These are things, if you cannot trust your local culture, your local community, your local mayor, your local officials to decide and work through these things and make these decisions, you know something, then it's hopeless. We might as well lie down and die. You know, there's no future for our civilization. You do not need to spend trillions of dollars having Washington on a centralized basis monitor and enforce that. It's insane. You're talking about costing billions of dollars. So, you know, I literally went nuts and started to write a commentary that said, you know, I think you ought to wipe yourself after you go to the bathroom, but I'm not prepared to ask my fellow citizens to pay for the federal government to monitor it. And if you don't, I'm sure your neighbors will shun you and that will take care of the problem. So there is this inability to fathom how to optimize a system to get a result as opposed to, oh, let's make more rules and let's spend more money enforcing more rules. Let's destroy the entire economy doing things that can be done by the culture or locally or on a decentralized basis. So, I don't know, it's kind of a sickness. And I just, you know, I can't fathom that it's anything other than mind control. But, you know, we're thinking like mice when it comes to how to manage a society and making zillions and zillions and zillions of rules so that everything is criminalized from the beginning is hopeless. Bad news, prison bonds have now recovered, and that's because, unfortunately, the Trump administration is reversing the decision to shut down the use of private prisons. I think given what Trump wants to do with immigration, it's, as a practical matter, it's difficult to lose that capacity, and I have to confess, I think that Clinton would have done the same thing. I think it was just a campaign ploy necessitated by the fact that Clinton had created the beast, and that made them look very, very bad in the African-American neighborhoods, which it should. But the prison industrial complex is something we should really get rid of. And the reality is, if you're gonna privatize the whole prison system, then you need capital to build government prisons. And that is a problem given what Trump's trying to do with infrastructure and everything else. So unfortunately, not so wonderful. So this was not a good week in terms of the smell and signals of prioritization and being bought with our own money and the prison bonds recovering. So mixed signals all the way. Our hero this week is the Salieri Report subscribers who helped Colorado and Utah legislators turn down the Constitutional Convention, and in the process inspired me to go out and get Edwin Fiera to do a wonderful special Salieri Report on why constitutional amendments and conventions were a terrible idea. It's a great interview. He really is the preeminent constitutional scholar and attorney, I think, brilliant, brilliant man, and really just decades of experience as a thing, so he knows the topic inside and out. But anyway, you guys got Colorado and Utah to stop it. I really appreciate it. In the meantime, we're battling it here and trying to stop it in the General Assembly here in Tennessee. Do me a favor. Please check in your state and see if one is passed or if it hasn't. if people are trying to pass it. Anything we can do to stop this is critical. So I think they need 38 states. So the last thing we can afford is for 38 states to approve this. So check out where it is in your state and make sure you deal with your House representatives and senators and get it stopped. And let's go to the movies. I recommended an excellent interview with two NSA whistleblowers, Bill Binney and Kirk Wiebe. And it's a long, long video. It's about 3.5 hours. And a lot of it is focused on the use of electronic systems to target people. So there's enormous sort of electronic torture and harassment. And Binney apparently has decided to do a research project on it, which I think is very good. But you see some clear information about how corrupt the system is, and I think Binney does a very, very good job of talking about this. He was a very respected NSA officer. So these are two fellows who are clearly very competent, know their stuff, and really are risking their lives and limb to warn us. Now, one of the reasons that I wanted to bring this up is I've been struggling with digital systems that have no integrity. You've been struggling with digital systems that have integrity. Now we're watching the President of the United States not be able to get a secure phone line and not be able to have digital systems that have integrity. So think about this. We're all paying our taxes, or many of us are paying our taxes on April 15th. I'm lucky. I have a lifetime of tax loss carry forwards, but so we're all sending our check on April 15th, and we're paying basically for a government that makes sure our entire digital systems are completely compromised, no privacy, and have no integrity. Why are we doing that? Why are we paying for this? Why are we building an economy on systems that have zero integrity? It can never work. If your digital systems, if your telecommunications and payment systems have zero integrity, the economy can't function. It's crazy. Which brings us to our interview. This is an excellent interview. Please listen to this interview. It's Richard Dolan and I revisiting the multiple personality disorder at the heart of the federal budget, and it's a reason that Congress has lost their minds, and it's the real clash of civilization, which is we have become, as an economy, completely dependent on illegal, secret, you know, dirty money, and we have an integration of organized crime with the most powerful part of the government. I mean, the national security state has basically taken over, you know, criminal cash flows and is dependent on them. And this is part of the problem. And to get everybody to go along with it, they've encouraged massive corruption, not just in Washington, but in every one of 3,100 counties. And so Richard and I chew it through and talk about how all of this is connected to the importance of transparency. If we're going to find a way through this conundrum and the multiple personality disorder at the heart of the national security state, of our entire society, of the 3,100 counties, you know, we have to face the red button problem. That's another reason why I put the red button story up. So there's a contradiction. If Trump is going to stop narcotics trafficking and stop child sex slave trafficking and stop all these things, well, then how's the deep state going to finance themselves? Those are, you know, if we clean up communities and make them wonderful, that's great. But the national security state is depending on the mortgage fraud and the narcotics trafficking cash flow. So there is this deep contradiction that has to be grappled with. And at least here at the Salera Report, we can talk about it honestly. And I think the more gridlocked we get, and people can't talk honestly, and they come up with all these different fairy tales and seem like they've lost their minds, it helps to understand what's really going on. And I think we need to bring transparency. I'm a great believer in citizen transparency. I've been very inspired by all the citizens' transparency around the pedophilia. And I think pedophilia, if we do have a pedophilia scandal, that's going to help to crack it over. But this is a fascinating interview. It was great. We got towards the end, and Richard said, we have to do another one. Let's do part two. So we're going to try and come back in a month or two and do part two. So wonderful interview with Richard Dolan, and I encourage you to read it on the deep state and Trump budget politics, because there's a lot of contradictions to be sorted out. Are we going to make money rebuilding the economy, or are we going to make money liquidating the economy? That's what we've been doing. Okay, Ask Catherine, more great links. Thank you so much. Somebody sent me, Jerry Corsi has signed up to be the Washington correspondent for InfoWars, and he put out a great piece on how Obama was trying to use the Freddie and Fannie money to fund healthcare. It was kind of cute. There's a long history of shenanigans about siphoning money out of the housing credit programs in the federal government to finance everything from the space station to healthcare. So this has been going on for many, many years. It doesn't surprise me. Anyway, somebody wrote in, I remain deeply disturbed by the pedophilia story. Have been so ever since viewing the documentary about the Franklin scandal that never aired in the U.S. I cannot seem to shake the evilness of this crime and sin from my consciousness either. This has got to blow over this year and expose to the world this grave evil in the highest levels of government, academia, entertainment, industry, etc. And there has got to be an accounting. I'm hoping that President Trump does pursue this horrible crime to its just conclusion and put Attorney General Sessions on the case. Well, Attorney General Sessions was clearly on the case, but you can see Congress is trying to get him off the case. Here is another story I recently came across that shows how pervasive it is in academia. She describes professors arrested, including four. There's a lot of professors that have been arrested for child porn. And we did a book review last year on pornography addiction, and I truly believe that there has been a major effort to use entrainment technology through the internet to get people addicted to pornography. So check out that book review. It's very, very useful. Anyway, what I would say is keep circulating the story, because if we don't let the story die, if we really bring transparency to it, it could really break through the whole logjam of the sort of clearing of the air that we need to both protect the children and get real traction on the problems before us. So I think bringing, traditionally you could never bring transparency to this story, not just because the fake news didn't want to, but because people don't want to know about it, they don't want to read about it. I remember for years I would try and warn everybody when the financial guys would say, it's all going to crash, and I would say, no, it's not, it's going to slow burn, and they'd say, well, why do you think it's going to slow burn? And I'd start to explain the control file system, which would immediately lead to pedophilia. They said, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know about this. I don't want to hear it. You know, if I hear it, I'll get too depressed, or, there are lots of different reasons. But if we can simply make this transparent by citizens doing it, then we can really shift things. It's a tremendous leverage and PowerPoint. So thank you for sending that. Then somebody writes a very long question, which will be in the notes, about Dr. David Jacobs, his most recent book called Walking Among Us, The Alien Plan to Control Humanity, where Jacobs' contention is that we have a group of aliens who are basically invading Earth and doing it with a breeding program. I have read the book, and I've read all of Dr. Jacobs' books. He was a professor at Temple and is a pretty serious guy. I do not know what the truth is on this. Are aliens co-located with us? Or I just finished a book called The Crypto-Terrestrials by someone who was killed mysteriously. Whenever a writer, researcher is killed mysteriously, I always pick up on their work. Who basically says that Earth is co-populated by a group of a very different species of people, and and they're manipulating us. And one of the ways they do it is persuading us that aliens are off planet, as opposed to we're sharing the planet with them. And basically what he's saying, how does a species that's very different and is very small in number control a whole planet? How do they do that? Anyway, but we're clearly dealing with very strange phenomena from outside the official reality, whether it's interdimensional intelligence or aliens or psychopaths or, you know, whatever. So there's still clearly something bizarre going on, but whether or not Jacobs has it right, I just don't know. And again, I think we can all figure this out. We can bring transparency to it and figure out what's going on, but it's going to take a citizens' transparency effort. Hi, Catherine. Do you have any information on Neil Keenan? The data point I'm focused on currently is the healing computers. My feelings say yes, but I look for other references or feedback. Having accepted this, that so much taught as true is not an honest source is highly regarded. You have my respect, and I'll listen carefully to your advice. I don't know anything about it. I'd never seen it until you sent the link, so I appreciate that. I've worked with life machines and biofeedback machines, and it's quite remarkable what they can do, but I just don't know anything about this one, but I will make it my business to see if anybody I know who I trust knows anything about it. Dear Catherine, we came across this article about retina scans for international flights. Have you heard about this, and do you know if it's possible to opt out and still be allowed on the flight? It's the first I heard of it. It's U.S. Marshals will scan your retina. Thank you so much for your continued and valuable work and reports. As I said, I haven't heard about this. It doesn't surprise me, though. You have all the different cartels all competing to see who can get more data on the humans. My question is, are they just checking identity, or are they also checking and scarfing up all sorts of health information? There's a tremendous amount of health information you can get from people's eyes, and I've always believed a lot of what they're doing in the airports is running a feedback loop on global spraying. I had one former CIA operative claim that part of the global spraying was to create organic barcodes, you know, because you have the different particles in and they cluster together and create the equivalent of a unique barcode print. Anyway, so I'm wondering to what extent they're running a feedback loop of some kind. My guess is if they were doing it, it's a prelude to running it out on a much larger scale. So the question is, can you opt out? And we're going to be looking for eye doctors who justify our opting out. Hi, Catherine. I ran across this article from 2007 called The Highwayman on Mother Jones. Is this something that might be of interest for you to do on a program? I guess I don't like the concept of new toll roads popping up all across our country, where numerous other countries are being enriched by their maintenance and operation, all at the expense of the American people. Of course, the fact that Goldman Sachs is in the middle of this situation makes it even more interesting. Anyway, if you haven't already, just thought you might be something you might want to highlight to your followers. Based on the stock market's response to the Trump speech, I think it's time that I need to dive in and cover privatization in more detail, particularly in the second half of this year. So this one in particular referenced toll roads. I noticed the Secretary of Transportation, Elaine Chao, just confirmed, was quoted the other day as intimating, yes, they were considering privatized financings on roads, including with foreign firms. So, hi, Catherine. We listened to the Greg Hunter, David Stockman interview regarding March 15th that was on your blog. What is your take? There is no doubt that the debt situation, which will not come to fruition on March 15th, is my expectation, but certainly by October, could turn into a dicey situation. I think I like Stockman, and I like his deep knowledge of the budget, and so I listen to him. Where he and I disagree is I think the system has so many more rabbits it can pull out of a hat than he thinks. And part of it is, you know, I've spent so much time going down the black budget, I just think he's not looking at a full deck of cards here because he's looking much more at the overt system. But I think he's very knowledgeable. He was very capable as the head of OMB, and so I think he knows a lot. So occasionally I'll put up his pieces. Dear Catherine, with all the vote hacking technology that's available today and all the covert operations that are going on from behind the scenes, In your opinion, how much control do we, the people, still have over who gets elected in our elections? We have some. In the big elections, the presidential elections, the leadership is looking to achieve a consensus. So they're trying to get buy-in, and they're trying to confirm the credibility of the system. But essentially, they control in a variety of ways, including, you know, if we don't get if Clinton and Trump are the candidates and Bernie Sanders, you know, is not in the race, then we don't get. If you look at who ends up being the nominees, they pick them. We don't. Anyway, but if you look at where we can have tremendous influence, it's on what we watch in terms of viewership, what we buy in terms of purchases or investments. So it's our actions daily in terms of our time, our attention, and our money that have the most power. I would say we have tremendous power. If we all exercise our power in state and local elections and government, we would have massively more power. So if you look at how much time we spend on the presidential elections, if we just completely shifted that to state and local, we would become much, much more powerful. Much. Dear Catherine, how much of the terrorist acts that have been associated with radical Islam, in your opinion, have been a direct result of the actions that the U.S. has been involved in the Middle East? In my opinion, 0%. I believe that 100% of the terrorist attacks in the G7 nations are engineered and financed by U.S., British, German, Israeli, and joint intelligence operations, and or their private mercenary organized crime counterparts. I'll give you an example. Long ago, Chip Tatum, who was a CIA operative on loan to a joint task force of intelligence operatives, I think it was NATO, organized, was ordered with his team to go to Jupiter Island, where Bush was basically telling them what to do. I think Bush was out of government at the time. And, you know, so this was sort of a shadow government operation. And his problem was they wanted him to assassinate U.S. citizens, and he refused the order and left the intelligence agencies. And then finally told the story. Now, could it not be true? My guess is it's probably true. But if you look at how these things really work, you know, you really get these public-private partnerships behind the scenes, and they're very much coming out of shadow government kinds of situations. Anyway, so I don't think there's been much going on in this country that's payback by Islam for what we're doing in the Middle East. Or if it is, it's de minimis. To me, Muslim terrorists have been primarily, you know, the Muslim terrorism has been limited to Muslim countries, pretty much, or to provide patsies for the G7 and Israeli operations. So, if there's any way Muslims are mistreated on the planet, it's being blamed for all these things being done by people who couldn't care less about Islam. Catherine, did you answer my vault question in the Ask Catherine section in 2016? Someone asked me, vault is a diamond, a vehicle to own diamond and to keep them deposited. And I've never worked with gems and don't know much about them. And I've taken a look and am trying to find somebody I trust who is much more knowledgeable in that area. Take a look. So I'll see what I can find. And I apologize I let that slip. Thank you for reminding me. Okay, closing. Next week, we'll be talking with Rob Kirby of Kirby Analytics about the Exchange Stabilization Fund. I'm excited about that because the Exchange Stabilization Fund is such an important vehicle right at the heart of both the black budget and the hidden system of finance and the manipulation of the financial markets. It wouldn't surprise me if the Exchange Stabilization Fund and related entrainment operations were juicing the market after Trump's speech. The following week, we'll have Precious Metals Market Report with Franklin Sanders, and I'm going to try and get him to talk with me a little bit about what ideas are available to help enforce the Constitution. And then on March 23rd, we're going to do an online webinar tutorial. So it's going to be live, called Unpacking Your Financial Ecosystem. And I'm going to walk you through how the government spending, taxes, other monies around you, how to start getting the information, digging out the information on how they all work, and use those to look for opportunities to make America great again without the federal government. And then a wonderful interview on March 30th that we're going to be talking with Howard Root, former CEO of Vascular Solutions, and his unbelievable book, Cardiac Arrest, about how the Department of Justice tried to frame him and how he took him to court and won. It's a great story. So until next week, March 9th from Toronto, please remember, don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Ladies and gentlemen, good night and good luck.